Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. We lift this time and this message up to you. We put both into your hands. We ask that you do your will with them. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to begin with a cautionary tale. We were talking about praying for patience. Cheryl prayed for patience once. And look what she got. Actually, part of my orneriness is why she is so patient. So, in a way, I've been blessing her through this. It is a gift. It is a gift I share. And I prayed for patience and got two kids. So, I don't even know how it happened. They were just there. So, anyway. For the past several weeks, we've been looking at love in the Scriptures. So far, we've seen that God is love. It is His very nature. That God loves all. Yet he has a particular love for those who love him in return. Then we began to look at the manifestations of love, and we are currently considering patience. God is patient with us because he loves us. We are patient with God, his timing, what we call faith, because we love him and we know he loves us. This morning I want to consider what Scripture has to say regarding being patient with one another because we love one another. If we are not patient with each other, it's a strong indication that our love is lacking. Once again, I give you the definition of being patient from Webster's: bearing pains or trials calmly without complaint, manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain, not hasty or impetuous, steadfast despite opposition, difficulty or adversity, able or willing to bear. As I said, Cheryl's picture should be next to the word patience in the dictionary. Of these five possible meanings, I think the fifth is the most applicable to our consideration of patience within the church: able or willing to bear. Because, brothers and sisters, we all need to ask the church to please bear with me while I am being sanctified by God. We are all under construction. And before the new building is built, the old must be torn down and hauled away. The process is the same for all. So part of our inclination to be patient with others is knowing that we will at some time need them to be patient with us. For some of us, the Spirit's demolition of the condemned is a little more public than it is for others. But rest assured that there is nothing that our flesh has built that can pass the inspection of the Holy Spirit. What our flesh has built must be torn down, because nothing can stand without the firm foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Isaiah 28:16 says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed." No man can lay a foundation for this life, and the only foundation that can support eternal life is the one laid by God, that is Jesus Christ. The process we are going through for our current church building, and the thought and patience that it demands of us, is not that much different than the building of the church by the hand of God, saint by saint. We must remove board by board and brick by brick, so that when others see us, they will see what God has built, saints made in the image of Jesus Christ. As noted previously, patience is how love manifests itself over time, and sanctification takes time. The old must be torn down, and this is a dirty and conspicuous process. Over the years, tensions build when stress is put on a structure that is not capable of supporting itself. And what is put to the cutting torch, it's capable of pitching suddenly and drastically in any direction. And those nearby can be adversely or affected by it or even hurt. Patience is required for fellowship, an environment of ongoing sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 through 15 says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone." And what he's saying is, love everyone. see that no one repays evil with evil, but always seeks after that which is good for one another, for all people. Paul urges the church to admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, and help the weak. Because we will all be unruly, faint-hearted, or weak, or all the above, as God sanctifies us to perfection. How do we respond with admonishment instead of criticism, encouragement instead of condemnation, and help instead of rejection? By being patient with everyone. Even the person who annoys you the most. And I realize you're all looking at me. Remember, demolition of the flesh is a nasty business. It does not go gently into that good night. It rages against the fire that consumes it. 1 Corinthians 3:11-13 says, "For no man can lay a foundation other than one which was laid in Christ Jesus. Now if any man builds on a foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work." Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:7, "So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul then defines how patience should be manifested in the church when another's flesh is put to the fire by the Spirit of God. First, you do not seek revenge for any wrong done to you. You do not seek an eye for an eye, but rather offer the grace that was offered to you. Beauty for ashes. Second, seek what is good for them. Do what you can to show them the image of Christ that they are being conformed to let them know that the journey is worth it. Don't hurt them, help them. This is what the patience of love demands of all of us. It's not a suggestion. What has been given freely to you must be offered freely to others. God is patient with you, and he demands you be patient with others in return, or his patience will wear thin with you. Check the parable on the one who was forgiven much, who refused to forgive little. Patience is the demand that love makes when you encounter others, what can only be accomplished through time and experience in the Word and by the Spirit of God, not by you. We cannot sanctify anyone else. Only God can. So, when we are being patient with our brothers and sisters, we are really being patient with God and His timing. And that is usually a really good idea. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It is not taken into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Here we're told the two things that love is, patient and kind. You will see this connection throughout the New Testament. Patient and kindness hooked together with love. Then these two things are further defined by telling us the eight things that love is not, the opposite of patience and kindness. Then we're told what patience and kindness do. They rejoice in the truth, and they bear, believe, hope, and endure all things, including what other people do, just as God does these things for you. Bears and endures are not pleasant terms. They denote carrying a burden over a period of time. I am your burden. You are my burden. Get used to it. Expect it. Then rejoice over it, because we are worth it and God is doing a good thing. We are the sons of God who are being perfected by a sanctifying grace through his word and by our fellowship with each other. Scripture often links patience with one another with the term that tells us that it isn't easy. The hard things get accomplished by the power of love. Colossians 3:12-15. So as those who have been chosen by God, you, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, assuming that you're going to need to do that. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. More than putting up with each other, but supporting them while they grow. The grape arbor of fellowship, where mature Christians are grown and ripen. Bear with me, I will bear with you. Let's put on patience. Make the choice to enact it, and in doing so, put on love, and allow the peace of God to rule. No matter what kind of nincompoopery your brother or sister is currently manifesting right in front of you, put on and let indicate choice. The alternative to which are disregard and hinder. You are doing one or you are doing the other. Bearing in patience is the choice that love makes. You can argue the particulars of your case, but forgive as you have been forgiven is the standard you must overcome to justify your impatience with anyone. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, assuming you're going to have to show tolerance for one another. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Tolerance allows for mistakes, gives room for error, expecting it. If you see it in your life, then you should expect it in others. Tolerance is used in the building trades to denote an acceptable variance from perfection. A part may have a tolerance or plus or minus of a 1/16 of an inch or a 1/100 of an inch. Tolerance grants wiggle room to fit in the family of God without being perfect first. Tolerance is granted because we all know that perfection is not possible in this world, so tolerance is necessary. And remember, the smallest measure of tolerance that you will grant to another will be applied to you by God. Matthew 7:2 says, "For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." We ask for this to occur each time we pray the Lord's Prayer. We acknowledge it as justice every Sunday morning when we say from Matthew 6:12, "And forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors." We proclaim that we have done this and that we're going to do it. Have you ever noticed how much easier it is to be tolerant with those you love than those you despise? Usually we can tolerate our own children and family more than we can others. This is because we love them more than we do others, generally speaking. So if you find yourself being intolerant or impatient with someone, don't pray for patience. Pray for love. Patience and tolerance will come packaged with the love the Lord provides. Patience is not easy because love is not easy. It is hard to be patient with people who think they are God, especially when we're pretty sure that possession is already held by us. I am well aware that there are, well, if I have it, how can you be? Yeah. I am well aware that there are things that people do in a church that must be addressed and must be repented of. Scripture makes that very clear and provides clear guidance on how to deal with such situations. Most of it involves me. However, very few infractions rise to the level of sanction by the church as a whole. Most situations and interactions can be completely dealt with through the patient tolerance and patient bearing that love affords us all. Brothers and sisters, there is no gift of judgment given to anyone in the church. None of us are called to be offended for God, themselves, or for others. But we are all called to be patient, to bear with the offense of others, to tolerate their shortcomings, simply because we love them. And that is what love does. Patience proves whose we are and who others are to us. 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25. The Lord's bond servants must not be quarrelsome, but be kind, able to teach, patient with wrong. Kind and patience, once again linked together. with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of truth. Christians must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind and patient when wronged. And you know, brothers and sisters, there's very little need for patience with others if you don't feel you were wronged. Sooner or later, we all have wronged someone in this church or be wronged by someone in this church, by just about everyone in this church if you spend enough time. Kindness and patience are linked here as they are in 1 Corinthians 13 because they are what love is. And they are so no matter who you're dealing with. Patience is proof of the Spirit of God inside us. Galatians 5, 22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit, the proof of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, again, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. See, against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What this is telling us is that our passions and desires stop those other things from happening. Love, patience, and kindness are the fruit that grows from the Spirit within. If you love others, you are patient with them, and you cannot do them wrong if you are patient and love them. If you belong to Christ, you have crucified the desire to be impatient with others. Your passion for judgment has been slain by the Spirit of forgiveness. Tertullian said, hope is patience with the lamp lit. Hope is patience with the lamp lit. Because there is no hope for any of us without the patience of God or the patience of others. It affords each of us time to grow up in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, time we so desperately need. The same hope patience gives us, we can give to others every day. Because patience is the choice that love always makes when wronged. And I leave you with this from Ecclesiastes 7, 8 through 9. The end of the matter is better than the beginning, and it's true for all of us. I know how this ends for me, and it's glorious. But right now, it's tough. And it's hard. And if it's tough and hard for me, I know it is for you. Patience of the Spirit is better than haughtiness, pride of the Spirit. Do not be eager in your heart to be angry. You know, when you're being offended sometimes, you think you have the right. You think it's your position to do this. But it says, do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. How much more so in the kingdom of God. Amen.